The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. If you're a little bleary-eyed like me, I didn't make it through the whole game live. I didn't last night. I don't know how many of you did. You can shoot me a note, Brad, at sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. If I'm a little slower today, it's because I did get up in the middle of the night to watch the end of it. Something just woke me up. It was like 3 a.m. I felt like texting Eric because I know how much you love getting those 3 a.m. texts or emails or something. Did you make it through the game?
It's totally fine if you text me because most of the time my phone's on silent anyway.
Most of the time.
And I just wake up at 6 in the morning and I open my phone and it's you and I see what time the text is sent and I either chuckle to myself or I shake my head in disgust or I curse under my breath.
Really?
Or a combination of all three of those.
Do you not like the 3 a.m.? So what if we did this?
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was going to text you in the middle of the night and say, are you watching this?
It's totally fine. I did not see it. Nope.
After
the national championship game, I watched a little bit of the Diamondback game, and I went to sleep.
So Jordan was telling me he took a Z-Quil, and so he was trying to fight it, and then he just crashed and burned. Did Haley say anything about the game last night? I don't even know.
Yeah, she said she was watching it on her tablet, and she fell asleep.
She fell asleep,
and then she woke up, and she didn't get the alert on her phone, and she was like, oh, my gosh, this game is still going on.
Yeah.
Which it did.
So Jody's going to come on with us today?
She is.
She's going to be like
Jody Jackson.
She's going to be like asleep, Jody Jackson.
Nope, she is out and about.
Wow.
Running around town, per our last conversation.
Because she hosted the postgame show last night, or this morning. That postgame show, if you're not getting what we're talking about, the Diamondbacks game last night, this morning, went 15 innings. It was the longest regular season game, which I found hard to believe, because I remember like year one or year two, they played the Giants, and I thought it went past midnight as well, but the record was 5:31. This one went 5:45 last night. And so we're going to talk about that some. The national championship game. The Cardinals make a move in the Masters. It's pretty much what's going on here locally. And we're working on our television show that, of course, is over on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sesmatt Football AZ. But this week, this coming Saturday night, in prime time, I will tell you about it at 10:30. And one of the pieces that the show's going to be at 8, but at 10:30 on today's show, I will tell you more about what this show is going to be about. And one of the pieces in it is a story that Eric has done. How many years have you known Juke and been working on these deep dives with him?
I met him a year ago Christmas, so a couple years now.
Yeah.
Met him early in his sophomore season.
This is a story of a kid next door that is going to go down as one of the top basketball players in the class of 2019. But it's not just a basketball kid. I mean, if you were to give a thumbnail of your piece, how would you describe it?
Majuk Dang has been through more in 17 years on this earth than many of us have in our entire life.
You and I combine, right?
Easily.
Yeah, I mean, easily.
Easily.
It's the stuff. And he just went through something a couple weeks ago.
That's fighting a war. Coming to the United States, not speaking English, learning to play basketball. He's a real rise to success, and he's dealt with quite a bit of personal tragedy along the way.
Last 2 weeks, he had a major, major setback.
He did.
We've been approached about doing this hour-long feature that we're going to do this Saturday night, and Eric had already been thinking about Majuk's story, and I get a phone call from him one day, and there's been a change. It's nothing to laugh about, but it was just, well, you'll see it later in the show today. But we'll have Jody with us at 10:50 and Eric's story with Majuk that will be in this documentary at about 10:25. I shouldn't say documentary. I should just say deep dives because that's what we like to do here. What is on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that would mean life insurance. Have you thought about life insurance? Have you ever logged on to just shop? Just check it out. Doesn't mean you have to do it. But you at least need to start the process of thinking, do I have everybody taken care of if I get wiped out tomorrow? I can't tell you how many times I've been wiped out almost on the 101 every day. It's just crazy out there. Accidents that happen right around me, and I'm not expecting it. Protect what matters most through life insurance. Get your free quote now at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. The baseball game, I'll get to the national championship in a bit. And how the rankings are already out for next year. Of course they are. The Diamondbacks win a game that look, it's the, what is it, the fourth game of the season, and it's the Dodgers, and it's at home. It's a Monday night. There's not a lot of people there, at least on television. The national championship game is on. I don't know if it's a game that you can look back on. Like last year, I can sit here and tell you that the Diamondbacks started having their meltdown and their implosion in Los Angeles towards the 4th of July weekend. I can't give you the exact date or the exact time, but that's when things started to fall apart. And Fernando Rodney became someone that just wasn't dependable and reliable. And it was right around the 4th of July. If you go back and look at the schedule, I'm sure you can recall the games I'm talking about. They were in LA. It wasn't good. Maybe last night, maybe, when you go and look at the season of the Diamondbacks, once again, they showed their grit, which I like. They show their determination. You have Kenley Jansen on the mound in the bottom of the ninth inning with Chris Owings at the plate. They're down to their final out. Two are on, and Chris Owings mashes a ball off of Jansen. Now, whether Jansen is right or not, it doesn't look like he's right. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I just flat don't care. That's not my concern. My concern is the guy here in Arizona. This is where I live. I've got to talk about the guys here in Arizona. I know this, that Kenley Jansen is one of the best in the business. And so when that closer's on the mound, you're just thinking, this is over. Get the final strike, call it a night. No, Chris Owings with two outs goes deep. And so the game moves on. And the game moves on into the 10th inning, and the 11th inning, and the 12th inning, and the 13th, and the 14th, and finally in the 15th inning, well after the longest game in the history of the franchise. 5 hours and 45 minutes. Jeff Mathis finds a way to win the game. I loved his quote. I knew I was going to have to pitch the next inning. I didn't want to do it. So he just goes out and gets the game-winning hit. Of course he did. When you lose a game in 15 innings, it's got to sting. It's got to hurt. It can't feel good. When you win a game in 15 innings, especially when you come back the way that they came back, it's that much sweeter. There were plays in the game last night that, and I don't sit here usually going through April games play by play, but Jake Lamb in the ninth inning dives for a ball and nips his shoulder, jams it, looks like to me. Just lays out for a ball. They're laying out. This team likes to lay out. This team does have grit. It's basically the same team as last year. There's some new parts for certain. Last night they're down early. It was 3-0 before you knew what hit them. Taijuan Walker's getting smacked around pretty good. I like the fact that last night was the first time in the history of Major League Baseball the two starting pitchers were wearing the number 99. That's never happened before, ever. I put up a bunch of little notes about 4 a.m. this morning from around the game up on the site. You can check it out. There's little goofy things. I think I put like 2,842 churro dogs consumed just to kind of mess around with it. It is fun. It's baseball. But so for the Diamondbacks to be in first place, 3-1, off to a good start in the season, the only game they lost was a Granky start. They've given up a lot of home runs so far. I know last night during the broadcast that Bob and Steve were talking about the humidor already being into effect. The Diamondbacks have given up a lot of home runs. I think it's 13 home runs already in a very short period of time. So the bullpen in watching the game wasn't great. But they found a way to get the victory last night. And so Zach Godley is pitching tonight. First time to see Zach on the mound. Last year, Zach Godley was a godsend. He was very good for them. And Clayton Kershaw is pitching tonight for the Dodgers. So it was a great win all the way around. It beats the heck out of the nonsense that's been going on with the pro basketball team. And the growth of the hockey team has been fine. There was a moment in last night's game that I will share with you a little bit later on that I think was very interesting if I'm looking at the business side of Arizona and what is going on with Phoenix Rising. Phoenix Rising and the Diamondbacks I will tie together a little bit later in the show because that's what I do. Up next, Villanova, Michigan, college basketball, the end of the season. U of A, ASU will put a bow on that. Jody Jackson comes up in about a half hour. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Right, let's take a closer look. I'll get this right. Again, it was a late night. some thoughts on Villanova last night beating Michigan, because I was watching it. And I felt like going in, and I said this on yesterday's show, that Villanova was the better team and it wouldn't be much of a game. And it really felt like, even though the final margin was 17, it didn't feel that close even in the early going. I felt like you could hear it in the voices of Bill Raftery and Grant Hill and even Jim Nance to a certain extent. You know they've got to sell it. You know they want to keep the audience. You know they're all about getting the biggest ratings number ever and all that. But you could just tell that, okay, this outside of getting it inside, there's not much there for Michigan. I mean, there were some fine athletic plays and all that. But DiVincenzo, oh, my gosh, I can't recall a player, and there's not been many sixth men that have scored 31 points in a national championship game, A. B, it's just the fact of coming in and not having to get adjusted to nerves, any of that stuff. What I liked about him, DiVincenzo, what I like about him is he's a soccer kid. Those of you that haven't watched this show much, or if you've just found us, and those of you who have watched a while, you know, just to refresh you on my view on this, please give me athletes and don't give me basketball players. Please give me athletes. There's not many LeBron James. There's not many Michael Jordans. In fact, there's none of them. There's not many Kobe Bryants. There's none of them. But when you see these kids that all they do is play basketball, 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 and this kid was a soccer kid. He didn't even go out for basketball until he got into high school. And here he is playing in the national championship game. He's playing on the biggest stage. He's making plays. He made a block last night with two hands inside that was as good a play as you're going to see. And then in transition, he stops and hits threes and follows through and has the confidence. He was such a confident player last night. And again, he wasn't just a kid that was drug around to all these courts and all these different events, just hoping that someone's going to notice him. You know, the Jay Wright stuff, I know there's been some that have sent me notes. You think Jay Wright could be the next coach of the Suns? Why would Jay Wright come here? Seriously. Why, when people want to do that story and float it out there just to go chase some clicks on their website or to give a segment on a show, give me one good reason why Jay Wright should say, I'm going to come to Phoenix. Well, they may have the number one overall pick, and then they have Devin Booker, and they have Josh Jackson, and what do you mean? Of course we want Planet Orange and Trophy Guy and all that to have Jay Wright here. Again, show me the track record of the ownership. If you're going to come into a situation just to go chase money, Jay Wright can go get money anywhere. Why would he come all the way out to Phoenix to work for an owner that has shown nothing in the last 8 years in terms of a commitment to winning? Why? So that stuff to me is just nonsense. David Fizdale, fine. Fine coach at Memphis. He's from Memphis. Jay Triano. Yeah, Jay Triano has come here, and Jay Triano has been dealt a bad hand, and he's done the best that he can do. But the team's lost 25 of 26, or 26 of 27. Or to put it in real simple terms, because I can't remember how bad the losing is, they just are going through their longest losing streak in the history of the franchise, A. B, they have two wins since before the Waste Management Open took place. So, again, please explain to me what the attraction of coming to Phoenix would be other than fanboy wants to see Jay Wright come here. Jay Wright were to come here, that would be the biggest bombshell. That would mean Robert would actually go out and recruit a free agent to come here and to convince a free agent to come here. And when was the last time that exactly happened? Blake Griffin used the Suns last year. LaMarcus Aldridge used the Suns before that. The nonsense of the timeline doesn't mean anything. This is absolutely deplorable what's going on here. So why would he come here? And exactly why would, when people just say, well, Devin Booker is going to get the most money here. Devin Booker is going to get his $100 million somewhere. He may not get $150 million. He may leave $50 million on the table. But you can't tell me that people aren't recruiting Devin Booker to go to other teams in the NBA. So that's the first thing on Villanova is Jay Wright. Second title for Villanova in the last 3 years. How does that equate to the pro game? Brad Stevens, I think, is the benchmark. Brad Stevens has done a terrific job in Boston. Billy Donovan has done a pretty darn good job in Oklahoma City. I look at the job that Brad Stevens has done, and I've been thoroughly more impressed because he's gone through bad teams. He's gone through getting rid of great players. He's had to manage great players. Billy Donovan's managing a great player right now. I'm not a Carmelo Anthony guy, but I'll acknowledge he's a great player. I'm not big on his game. Last time I checked, I take Russell Westbrook on my team. It's not like Billy Donovan has gone into the cupboard and had nothing to work with. So the college guys, when people go back to, well, it didn't work out for Rick Pitino, or why not go get John Calipari, or, you know, go down the list of guys, and the list is not very long of players, former coaches in the college game, rather, that have gone on to the pro game. So I have to look at that with Jay Wright, too. What would be the impetus for him to leave Villanova to come out here at AAB? Would he be any good as a professional coach in the NBA? Do you have to have a different mindset? And see, how would the Suns even go about recruiting him and to say you should come here? Now that the season is done, and by the way, John Beilein is just going to be a little line here to the story, the sub-story here. Last time I checked, Michigan's pretty darn good. John Beilein is never, ever mentioned. Let's go through the top college basketball coaches that are still active, that are doing their thing. We're going to hear all about Bill Self. We're going to hear all about Roy Williams. We're going to hear all about Mike Krzyzewski. Are those guys at programs that get more television exposure than Michigan gets? The answer is yes. Yeah, there's Big Monday and Big Ten is part of it, but it's a different space now than it used to be. John Beilein is not going to be given the profile of a Jay Wright. Yet he goes out, he wins every year. As Bill Frieder pointed out yesterday on the show, Jim Harbaugh's what, 1-6, Eric, was it? 1-6 or 1-7 against Ohio State and Michigan State combined?
I believe 1-7.
So Harbaugh's not doing it against Ohio State and Michigan State. And here's John Beilein taking them to the finals. And Bill's comment was, when basketball is good at Michigan, the football people get really nervous. But if I'm talking about great college basketball coaches, if you and I are sitting here and we're rapping about, if we're at lunch, whatever, talking about college basketball coaches, are we going to have John Beilein within the first 10 minutes of the conversation? And maybe we should.
No, but he's become a better coach as he's gotten older, self-admittedly, from what he said.
Yeah.
And he had success at West Virginia, but he's had unparalleled success at Michigan. And to get this Michigan team, which isn't nearly as talented as the team that lost to Louisville 5 years ago, all the way to the national championship, I think we all saw what was going to happen last night, like you said. It wasn't a surprise. Villanova was the more athletic team. They
got outplayed.
They got outplayed.
It's a different deal.
Yeah.
People want to say, oh, coach didn't do a good job. No, he just didn't have the horses.
That's it.
He doesn't have the horses.
Because they have a couple nice pieces, but Michigan quietly had a really, really good season in basketball. Quietly.
Sure. And so I'm kind of like in the space of Beilein. He's done a great job. Michigan's program is established. If you're an Indiana Hoosier fan, tell me how your program's coming along. It used to be that Michigan-Indiana would be a big deal, just like Michigan-Ohio State in football, Michigan-Indiana in basketball. It's not. Michigan surpassed them. One other note before we get to take a break here, because we have Majuk and then Jody's going to be with us. Majuk is Eric's piece. It's going to be in the primetime special this week on ABC. So last night I'm watching the Diamondbacks game and I'm scrolling around on social media and I see that Phoenix Rising is sitting in Derek Hall's seats. Berke Bakay, Mark Detmer, the ownership group of Rising. Guys, I'm just telling you this right now. With what's going on in the Valley in the arms race for facilities, I have to believe, I haven't been told this, but I just am hearing it around town, that Rising may not be married to where they are right now, 101 and 202 on their own. That looking at what the Diamondbacks are trying to do with their stadium, which Forbes just crushed them. I don't know if you saw the Forbes article or not, but Forbes said it's one of the worst stadiums in going. What the Cardinals have going over on the west side, I can't see the team going to the west side. It's already been a failure to have sports on the west side night in and night out. People from the west side get mad at me about that. It's just a fact. Outside of the Cardinals, where it's only 8 to 10 trips a year. So I just found it interesting that from what I'm hearing, that, you know, to see Rising there, the ownership sitting in Derek Hall's seats last night, because, hey, what if we partnered together? What if there was a rollout tray of a field? What if we shared the facility? What if there was a way to take costs? Just keep it in mind. Eric is going to come up on the other side. We're going to chat about his piece and then show you a really, really strong deep dive that Eric has done on the kid next door, but he's got a worldwide story. We'll have that next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Do here at sports360az.com is this daily show that you watch. You see this, we do it live at 10 a.m. every day. Things that we see there going on around the state, across the country, around the world. We have our own spin on it. We're not filtered. We're not sitting here, I don't know, in a space where you've got teams that are calling you saying, why are you banging on us again and all that. It's what I wanted from the beginning of doing this. And now we're in a year, almost year seven this September. We also do an arm on the website of production. We like doing deep dives and doing documentaries. When I was in local television, I saw that we just did not have the time, any space, in especially in prime time, to do deep dives. If I had Charles Barkley mic'd up playing golf and screwing around, I couldn't get more than a minute of that because there was a cat in the tree. Or there was just stuff that was being put on the air that was targeted towards a different demographic than I wanted it to be. So I got out. And when we started doing deep dives, Eric, at first, I think it's fair to say about you, you were not all that convinced of your storytelling abilities when we first started doing this, right?
I wouldn't say that. I just never really told stories in a video form. I've told plenty of written stories, from a multimedia perspective.
So in my view, you've become really, really good. I mean, really, really good in the art of storytelling.
Thank you.
A great eye for it. You do. And so this coming Saturday night at 8 p.m., we're going to do a deep dive. We're not doing anything with football.
Eight-ish.
Yeah, yeah, we're hoping. It's Oklahoma City. I think I said it was Houston and San Antonio. It's Oklahoma City.
And Houston, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So it's Harden against Westbrook and Carmelo and all that. So it's going to be great. So we're going to do a deep dive of stories that are long form. One of the stories is I'm going to sit down with Didier Drogba, the player for Phoenix Rising. We're going to get into the stadium situation and all of that. Haley has a story of a baseball player on the high school end that may be the number one overall pick in the coming draft here in 6 to 8 weeks. Jordan is going to head over and bring us a story of Paralympic wheelchair rugby that's right here in the Valley and some of the top Paralympians in the world that are here. There's a couple other features that we're working on as well, but Eric's is one that's the signature piece, I believe, in this show. Doesn't mean anything, any disrespect towards anybody else and what their work is. Eric found the story of Majuk Dang, and it's a story that we're about to show you and give you an advance on it. We're going to show the whole thing. We're not just going to show you a clip because you're going to tune back in to see all these stories, I believe, on Saturday night. So Eric's story on Majuk Dang, basketball kid halfway around the world, has overcome adversity, has had his triumphs as well, and you're going to hear his name well beyond this piece. Check it out.
From what you see now, by the time he becomes a senior, I don't want to say I'm afraid to see it, but you're going to see a totally different player from even the kid that you see right now.
This is where my basketball started, basically. I came out here at the age of 11, and now I'm 15, almost 16. It's just hard to describe how time just flies. This court means so much to me, and I'm always going to come back like we're here now.
This park in central Tucson is a long way from Majuk Dang's war-torn native country of South Sudan. While he lives with his mother and brothers, part of his family stayed back to fight a war dividing a nation.
Last time I talked to my dad was a year ago. My mom talks to him now more than anything. But we found him. He's in a safer place now. He's in the camps. Sadly, my grandma, we found out she died. But everybody else we found. I had to hear about my dad leading people to the war because people came around killing people, torturing people. And my dad is a leader, so I'm not really worried. I know he's God first. So my dad's going to be safe no matter what. I know that.
Majuk's basketball bloodlines run deep. His cousin is NBA All-Star Luol Deng. The two first met in their home country 6 years ago.
The last time I saw him in person was the day before we left South Sudan. That's when he went out there and he was putting the lights out on the streets, letting kids know about such a thing named basketball.
While Deng admires his cousin, he patterns his game and passion after two of the NBA's greatest forwards.
Tim Duncan really inspired me a lot, and Kevin Garnett. They love the game of basketball. They really take the game of basketball to the next level. They just love everybody they're playing with. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for their team and their families.
Like his basketball role models, family is a top priority, especially when transitioning to an unfamiliar home 9,000 miles away.
I start process a long time ago. In my situation, it was bad, and my kids are hungry, and I don't have anybody take care to me. So the UN take care to me, give me through to the government for U.S., and the U.S. is handle me, so they take care of my kid now.
We had just come off being in the state title game, and I remember Majuk was a seventh grader and wanted to come check out the school, and his middle school counselor wanted to see him come to South Point for the school and the atmosphere and the community that we've got, and then our basketball program. And I mean, just from the very beginning, engaging and charismatic and just a really impressive personality.
Just being at that school is just like a community. It's a great place to be at. You don't have to think about, for example, what's going on out there. You just focus on what's going on in the school, and that's just why I love South Point, just because it's a family place to be at. The mental game you had to have is something that you gotta know, and trusting people you're playing with, and also having fun with the game. Don't be anxious about doing something or not doing something right.
He liked to win. He liked to win basketball in a team. And he liked their team to win when it's a winner. So that is to be happy.
His potential is in the sky, and being his teammate and seeing him grow since his freshman year, he's not even close to where he's going to be in the future, which is why I'm so confident in all these schools that are offering him and all the love he's getting. I know that they're not making a mistake, because I see the work ethic that he has and what he's willing to put into it. And, you know, he's just going to keep getting better from here on out.
Coach Miller called me into the office. We went in, he showed us around the gym, and right when we went to his office, he just sat down and said, "Juke, we've always had these meetings, but this one is a special one. Your mom is here, your coach is here. We just want to tell you that Arizona is a place where we need national championships. We want to play in that big stage, and I've been watching you for the past 2 years, and I've seen a lot of improvements in you, and I feel like you can help this school be at that stage." It's been a while that a kid from Tucson has gotten a scholarship from U of A, a full ride scholarship to play basketball and go to school there. It just means a lot to me also. It's something I've been waiting for. This is my backyard, and I've been playing here, and seeing Coach Miller come to my games, it just means a lot just for me and city of Tucson. My grandma, she's a really, really big part of my career. Her name being on my shoes is a big deal for me, because when I see her name, then it just makes me want to work even harder, just give it my all, and let her know that, "Grandma, I'm paying this all back for you."
I compare him to Nelson Mandela sincerely, that people constantly say that they met him or they crossed paths with him and that his smile changed him, or you know, they had a conversation and they couldn't believe the way that, I would say he treats every day like a gift, like the gift that it is. And he cherishes everything that comes his way, every opportunity.
At the end of the day, I do it for my grandma, for my family, for the guys I play with at South Point. That's a special team we have right there. And I just do it just because it's a fun game also. And just it might bring something special to my family.
After averaging nearly 19 points and 9 rebounds a game as a junior and helping lead the Lancers to their second consecutive 4A state championship game appearance, family tragedy struck again when Juke's older brother, Luol Dang, was shot and killed last month outside an apartment complex near 19th Avenue in Glendale in Phoenix.
It's just hard to think that this person is gone and all this is not ever going to happen again. He's not ever going to tell you, hey, I believe in you. I know you're doing it for the family. I know when you go out there on the floor, I know you're giving it your all. It's just tough. It was just hard. It was hard for us to take it. I didn't know how to control myself through all of it. Because me and my brother were like best friends. He basically was the man of the house. Every time I went to basketball practices, to basketball tournaments, he was always in front of all of it. I felt like he raised me. He's been there through my ups and downs. He's basically was my father figure. I feel like now like my plate just got bigger and I have a lot of sides in this plate, and he has a huge part in this plate. And I just hope and wish he guides me through all of this. He was on top of my recruiting. He was on top of everything in my life. I've been receiving a lot of calls lately. There's a lot of calls I didn't answer in the past 2 weeks. Just because I don't know how to put words together on the phone, and I just didn't know how to text people back.
As he's done since he first stepped on the court, Juke is again using basketball as an escape.
There's times I was just sitting there, and like my mind is racing, and sometimes I would just try to go to sleep and I can't sleep. And all I could think about is just to go to a nearby gym and just shoot my brain out. Like shoot, 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 dribble, 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 listen to crazy music. And it seems to help. It seems to help to have my family still waking up every day saying good morning. From there, I understood like, he's not gone, man. He's still with me no matter where I'm at. He's always gonna be with me. Like, we were basically his kids. He raised us well. He raised us really well.
What's gonna happen with him, Eric, when in terms of now he's gotta be man of the house? You've been down there to Tucson. So he's got basketball right in front of him. He's got Coach K that's been after him. He's got obviously Sean who's been after him. And all these other schools. I mean, how's he going to handle the loss of his brother just a couple weeks ago? And we've seen stories like this where guys give up their dream.
He's doing remarkably well, considering that this personal tragedy happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like he said in the piece, I really think as it's done in the past, being around his teammates, going out to a gym, going out to a park, and just releasing some of that sadness, stress, anger that he holds towards what happened to his brother has been really therapeutic. And
yeah.
He's been through so much. You certainly don't want to downplay the death of anyone, but if there's any 17-year-old kid that could handle something like this,
right,
it's Majuk Dang.
Right.
And you know that, and I know that.
So his dad is still not back in the picture. He's still over in Sudan.
He's still in
the military.
He's still fighting, but he's safe, and he's in a safe place.
Okay, and this is as of when you talked to Majuk last week.
Yeah, Majuk was supposed to talk to his dad last weekend, but he was up in Vegas for a showcase tournament, so he wasn't going to be able to speak to him.
Okay, and in terms of recruitment, he's not going to go to ASU.
It doesn't sound like it.
U of A is in the picture from your story, but you know, I would guess that's a remain to be seen. Duke, he visited. Ohio State, he's been out to the Midwest.
So he likes Ohio State, and they have offered.
Stanford?
I think Stanford's definitely in the picture.
Yeah.
I definitely think he is going to end up at a high academic school because grades are important to him. And it wouldn't surprise me if he landed somewhere out of state.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff there. And that's going to be that. And there's four other pieces that we have that are going to be on the show on Saturday night. And it's no football at all because there's a ton of other things going on in our great state. It'll be over on ABC 15 following Oklahoma City and the Houston Rockets. Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ, over on ABC 15. Appreciate them giving us an hour and working together. That's good stuff. Jody Jackson is next. She'll be asleep. She'll just have drool coming out of the side of her mouth. Her eyes will be closed because she was at the game late last night. I'm Brad Sesmat. And now let's turn our attention to what happened early this morning. Jody Jackson was, where were you when this all finished up? It finished up like at 12:45, right? What time did you get off the air this morning?
I think we got off the air a little after 1 because I was looking to grab some late night food, you know, a little Taco Bell or something, and nothing was opened. I tried to order pizza to the set, but had some trouble with that. I was a little disappointed. There was a it was hard to get food to Chase Field because we're out on the plaza for the opening homestand.
Right.
So we're not in the building this week. It's kind of, you know, we've had fun interacting with the fans. Fans have been crazy and excited. And I was out there. And we, you know, I gave props to the people walking by that had stayed for the whole thing, which was kind of fun. And we did a postgame show at 12. I don't know if it was like 12. I think the postgame was about 12:30 to 1.
When you're on the set and the game is going on and on like that, do you guys just kind of look at each other and say, okay, where are we going with this? And somebody please anybody end this one way or the other?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, it just gets long. I mean, I've been part of all – I was looking at the list. I remember very well the 2013-15 inning game with Cliff Pennington winning it. And that game, you know, I mean, they're all really exciting and they're all really fun. It's just getting to that point, you know, seeing what's going to happen. And that one, I remember that was like the 5:32 or 5:28. The one against the Indians in 2015, I remember that one as well. I mean, they're all sort of piling up now in the 5:30 range. You know?
Right,
like,
right,
how many
right.
of these games do we have? But you always, you know, we had Webby at home, you know, wow, he's texting us. We're like, Webby, you're trolling us right now. You're sitting on your couch, probably having a few snacks, and we're here, you know. So it's just one of those things. This is actually kind of a funny story. So we're sitting there when it was 6-3 and, you know, in the bottom of the ninth. And we had just got done kind of talking about, you know, I think Gracie said something to the effect of, you know, the fans really didn't get a chance to get in the game because Taiwan got down 3-0. And then even though the D-backs tied it, you know, the Dodgers came back that next inning and scored. I think there was one inning where they remained tied and then in the next inning they scored a run. And it was kind of true. I mean, even though there was a lot of excitement before the game, it didn't, you know, the fans didn't get a chance to really get crazy.
Right.
And so it kind of, there were points where it felt a little, you know, lack of energy and stuff. And then next thing you know, Kenley Jansen, he walks the two batters and then Homer. And we were like, man, we just flipped, you know, here we go. So it was pretty exciting to think, you know, there are a lot of people at home. You know, I was just talking to my dad and he said, you know, I went to, it was 3-3 and then I woke up like 2 hours later, it was 6-6. So
Jody Jackson is with us, Fox Sports, Arizona Diamondback host and reporter and just the hardest working person I say in the Valley in the sports world. So what I'm wondering is how do you turn it off when you're done with a game like that mentally, meaning you get home, you can't find anything. It's probably 2, right? Probably 2:30 when you crawl in and you're just kind of sitting there. Are you like me when I used to do Diamondback stuff or any of these games, you can't turn it off. You kind of replay it. And then it's sitting there and it's 3, it's 3:30. Are you like that? How does this work?
Well, I mean, it's been, you know, when you're going out, I have to pack for, you know, tomorrow I'll get to the stadium at like 9:30 or 10 a.m. and then we do the game and we're on a plane, so
right.
I kind of have this mental list of like things I have to do. So on the practical side, I was trying to go to bed as quickly as possible. I think I went to bed around 2:30. I wasn't really replay because I had the drive home to kind of replay it.
Yeah.
I think the drive home, you know, whether it's from Coyotes, you have a little longer drive, and then D-backs still about 20 minutes for me. So you kind of, you know, take that time and replay, and then I try to shut it down. I mean, my husband watched the whole thing. I mean, a lot of times he's waiting up for me so we can kind of catch up on our day. But, you know, even he had to go to bed after that one. You know?
Sure, sure.
It was 1 o'clock, or I think he stayed up till almost when the post game was over. So, no, everybody was – it was quiet in there. I tried to just not wake anyone up. And, you know, I was able to shut it down. But, you know, I know what you mean. I mean, an exciting game like that. I feel like last year the wild card game, even though, you know, that was a game that, you know, you just amped for hours. Yeah, I tried to shut it down because I knew I had a lot of stuff to do between now and when I leave. So.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
I'm very practical that way, Brad.
No, it's practical is good. Well, no, I just wanted to have you on for a few minutes because I think the final tally was 538 pitches, something like that, that were thrown last night. So whenever you have one of those barn-burning type of games, it's always fun to talk to someone the next day. I would wonder this to you. Is the humidor really that big of a deal? I heard Steve and Bob talking about it a lot. There's been 13 home runs, I believe, is the number the Diamondbacks have already allowed. Are you seeing that there, like at the ballpark yourself, saying, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, okay, it's interesting with this. You know, now every time a Diamondback player, or really any player, hits one to the wall, you say, oh, well, that would have been out. So, I mean, but you can play that game anywhere, you know what
sure,
I mean?
Like, sure.
And so what's interesting is, yeah, other teams so far, the Rockies and the Dodgers have hit more out than the Diamondbacks have. And yeah, Goldie hit one of the wall, Lamb hit one. Goldie and Lamb have hit ones, you know, to the wall. I'm trying to remember if there's another player that hit one pretty far. I mean, to me, you know, you can do that, but you're just going to torture yourself. it is what it is. Again, it's the same ball for both teams. You just kind of, I mean, look, the Dodgers, they scalded the ball. There were three balls that were caught that were hit like 110 off the bat.
Mm.
I mean, these guys can hit, and the Diamondbacks can hit as well, but there's some, this Dodger lineup, you know, kind of marveling at, you know, one was from Puig, one was from Bellinger, and I can't remember who the other one was, but I'm not saying the D-backs got lucky, but they did get out hit, and they did, I mean, Owings just hit, I mean, it's kind of funny. There's a running joke in the press room when Torrey comes in, because I guess he's used the word magical a few times about, you know, even opening, you know, and last night really felt magical. I mean, you did not expect that to happen. And anytime Kenley Jansen, you know, the way his reputation has been over the last few years, anytime anyone gets anything off of Jansen, it's like this anomaly. Well, it's becoming, you know, I mean, he's human, you know, so... He's really good. He's not exactly Mariano Rivera, who also faltered at Chase Field on a November night. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm not saying the D-backs were lucky, but they were out hit and there were a number of balls crushed. And yeah, I mean, certainly the D-backs have the capability to crush the baseball. And I think it'll all even out. But, yeah, there's a lot of I know Bob did mention, you know, Bob noticed that the ball – at that trajectory when you calculate the velocity and the launch angle.
Yeah.
And he's getting that information from the truck because we have all that information with StatCast and everything. I mean, yeah, there are some that used to, I guess, according to last year, would have gone out. So, but me personally, I'm not going to get all lathered up about it because you just can't do, you have to just play the game and your pitchers are going to benefit at times. And, you know, I don't think we really know the impact yet.
All right.
I think they'll look at it. I think they'll probably look at it maybe like mid-season and really take a closer look. Or maybe they'll look at it after a month. I'm not really sure.
Okay. Let me just say this to you. In all the years that you've jumped on the show, you've never been as caffeinated up, at least sounding-wise, after a game that you got to bed by 2 a.m. I mean, come on. You just sound like you're... What have you had, a quad?
I don't know.
Quad shot something? Is this just you, Perky Jody, today?
I'm having a decaf mocha.
Get out of here. You're not having decaf anything. There's not a chance you're having decaf. Get out of here. What are you, nuts?
I'm on to my iced tea, which I believe there's caffeine in my iced tea.
Yeah,
so.
Well...
maybe that's what's got me going, but we have another show to do tonight. We're talking about Godley's curveballs. You know, we're kind of like, I think it's just, I'm amped until probably the off day in St. Louis. I might just crash or something, but I may just stay up until Friday at this point.
All right. See you later. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Thanks, Brad. It's always good to talk to you.
You too. It's Jody Jackson. She's a good sport. Yeah, she's probably like that little mechanical deal that you have the on-off switch, just it's good stuff with JJ. All right, we are done here. We're going to go over and work on the football show now, which will be tonight on Fox Sports Arizona before and after the Diamondbacks and Dodgers game. That will be tonight. We will have Michael Fabiano with us. on the Fantasy Football Breakdown. Eric caught up with Herm Edwards. Jordan is out at the Cardinals. It's their first day of weight work. And Haley caught up with one of the new high school football coaches. So all that as we do our statewide show over on football over on Fox Sports Arizona, that will be tonight. Have yourself a great day.